thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Zoom.
You are on with the Urban Sports Scene. I'm Wally. Here, my homie Ray Jeezy, Will T. What's good, brothers? I'm
tired. What's up?
What's going on?
Nothing much, man. We got the NBA playoffs. You know what I mean? Right now, the Atlanta Hawks are blowing out the Boston Celtics. Actually, making a comeback. The Celtics are making a comeback.
They're trying.
They're trying to, right? And we'll go in detail with the NBA playoffs around 8:45. But again, what's going on with y'all? How's everything going?
I'm smiling. I'm happy. I'm thinking about Will. Every time we leave the studio after we do this show, Will somehow always passes me on the Beltway. I don't know how. I don't know how you do it with that car, man. I'm guessing that you just more of an experienced driver. So if you end up with a luxury car when they look out, I'm not even gonna try to race you. And I don't have a luxury car, by the way, of course. So I'm not joning at all. But I'm just saying, you do get up in that.
I mean, you are.
You do get up. You do get up, though.
But, you know, it's all good.
Oh, you got
you
it.
Don't recognize you, Pat. You never look to the side, though.
Nah. I don't pay no attention. Like, I'm concentrating on going where I got
to
get.
We go to the same exit. We just take opposite directions.
I
just worry about getting to where I need to go.
Anyway, like anything, before you get into the main event, you got a pregame. So, Will T,
let's get into our tradition, the pregame.
Thank you, my man. We're going to discuss the Washington Redskins 2016 schedule. We'll break it down. Also, the Washington Capitals are up 3-0 against the Philadelphia Flyers in the Stanley Cup playoffs. We'll have Caps insider Ed Frankovich from WSNT Baltimore to discuss the 3-0 lead. The Washington Wizards fired Randy Whitman last week. We'll discuss maybe some potential hires for the Washington Wizards. And also, we'll talk, like I said earlier, we'll talk about the NBA playoffs in general in detail. Kevin Durant fell short last night against the Dallas Mavericks. We'll talk about his game. We'll talk about the Golden State Warriors without Steph Curry and much more. But before we get into all that, let's talk about the Washington Redskins and their schedule. The Redskins have the Cowboys in week 2. Also, they have RG3 in week 4. Within the schedule, what matchups, or put it this way, is the schedule tough to you?
At first glance, no. Yeah, I know it just came out, but I automatically highlighted games I think the Redskins cannot win, and at Cincy is at the top of that list.
At Cincy?
Yeah.
Yeah, Cincy is a powerhouse team, depending on how Andy Dalton bounces back from injury. What about yourself, Will T?
First game of the year, Pittsburgh Steelers at home Monday night. I don't think that's a game that Washington is going to be able to win. But I think the most anticipated game will be Sunday, October 2nd, come 1 p.m. at FedEx Field with a return of Robert Griffin, if he's the starter. I mean, I think that's why the NFL scheduled that game so early in the year. I honestly think when he went to Cleveland, I'm pretty sure that the schedule was a little bit different, but they were like, nah, let's move this up. We got to make sure that he's going to be starting because this is going to be one of those games that's going to draw national attention.
No, I agree. I think the RG3 Redskins game is probably the biggest in terms of the fans. I won't say it's the most important game in terms of the Redskins organization, but in terms of the fans, I'm interested to see how the split will be in terms of if he's playing well, will the fans support him even in a home game, or you know, will they treat him like a visitor?
No, I think they'll treat him like a visitor, just because especially if Kirk comes out playing like he did at the end of last year. Uh-huh. They'll definitely treat him like a visitor. You'll have those fans scattered throughout the stadium who still are RG3 supporters and still love him and think that he got a raw deal. But I think if Kirk Cousins comes out and continues to play the way he did during the last half of the season, he'll be just another opponent.
What are the chances that if Cleveland wins, either Robert Griffin himself or a teammate start saying you like that? Start taunting the skin. Start taunting Kirk Cousins in particular.
That'd be hilarious.
I mean, what are the chances, though? You think it's possible? Green Bay did it after the playoff game. So I'm thinking it could happen.
Yeah, you'll probably have a teammate that will, you know, that will say it for him. But again, he won't say anything. But a teammate, I can see it happening. Definitely see it happening. But in between like I mentioned, the Cowboys game, it's pretty early. It's week 2. What game to you is will have more luster to it or more significance to the Redskins fan base? Would it be RG3 coming home or the Dallas Cowboys in week 2? Is the Cowboys?
I'm going to say Robert Griffin because the Cowboys, based on their season last year, it's unclear how they're going to look coming out in this new season. Reports that Brian Hoyer may be brought in as a quarterback. There are too many questions. But again, it's Robert Griffin III. Will T and others describe him as polarizing. He's going to remain that way. And hopefully he will be the starter in week four.
Yeah, and that's a valid point. Will he be the starter in week four? Everybody's hyping it up. Yeah, go ahead, Will T.
No, I was just going to say that's why they scheduled the game so early, because they're anticipating if he has any shot of being the starter, he'll be the starter through the first four games of the season, barring an injury. If he comes in and he looks has any resemblance of a starting NFL quarterback, he'll be the starter through the first 4 weeks.
What kind of bothers me about the schedule, going back to that real quick, is that the Redskins have been assigned the AFC North and the NFC North. That's tough to me. I know that Green Bay and Minnesota both expect to be good. Detroit, I don't know. You all tell me. Chicago is always tough. Even on the road, they can be difficult to beat. And then the AFC North, you're looking at what? Cincinnati, Pittsburgh. I don't see Baltimore on the schedule, though. Are they missing, or am I just overlooking them?
Baltimore, I believe they're on the schedule.
They are?
Baltimore's week five.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. No, excuse me, week six.
Now, how come that wasn't thrown into the whole big game question, being that they're right up the street?
Because I don't think Redskins fans... Redskins fans don't look at the Ravens as rivals. They're not in the division. In terms of proximity, folks would like to make it that way, but it's not. They're not the rivals of the Washington Redskins. The Baltimore Ravens, I'm sure they view the Pittsburgh Steelers in that way too. And then you got even the Indianapolis Colts. They may view them more rival than the Washington Redskins.
I'm not saying somebody has to be your main rival, but what I'm saying is, based, like you just said, on proximity, it should be some form of a rivalry. It doesn't have to be big, but if you go out to bars in this area, you're going to see a neutral or a mixed crowd. Right or wrong, we've done it. Especially if you're halfway between Baltimore and D.C., it's always a split. And it's always fun, in my opinion. I think people don't want the rivalry. I think Baltimore fans think that since the 2000s, the Ravens have been better than the Redskins. And I think Redskins fans feel like your franchise doesn't compare to ours. Nobody wants it. It's the fans that don't want it, but it should be a rivalry.
I think Baltimore fans want it. I'll say it. I think they want it. I've been, like you said, we've been to venues, you know, in the midpoint of Baltimore and Baltimore, D.C. And you see that at times that Raven fans tend to take it more serious than Redskins fans. I've had a Raven fan scream at me, and I was like, wait a minute, you're not my rival. You don't rock a star. You know what I mean? You don't rock a star. The star is what I look at and say, you know what? I hate that team. When I look at a bird, it doesn't bother me.
I don't know. Will, you went to college in Baltimore.
Just putting all my business out there.
I'm sorry.
It's fine.
Do you get a feel that Baltimore fans have a more burning desire to be a rival against the Ravens?
Absolutely. I think Washington fans look at Baltimore fans as like their little brothers. For some reason, they feel a sense of superiority. Maybe it's because of, the longstanding history that Washington has in this town. And because, I can't explain it. But it feels as if Washington fans have a superiority complex towards Baltimore fans. They feel as if Baltimore fans aren't on their level. They feel as if the franchise isn't on their level, which to me is kind of weird because this team has won two Super Bowls in the last, 15, 16 years? So, to me, I never understood it.
I think that's, for me personally, a kind of general theme for persons who are both from Baltimore. They always feel inferior to D.C. based on more than just sports. It's a lot of factors that come into play. And it kind of spills over into sports, unfortunately. But the Ravens have won two Super Bowls in, the past 16 years. Washington has had probably about three or four playoff appearances in that time period. So the Ravens have been a better franchise, which is why I think, you know, Baltimore fans do have an argument. It's just, again, Redskins fans kind of brush it off because you're not the star, as Wally said. But they get to you, though. I've been out there with you. So
they don't get to me. I mean, everybody annoys me to a certain extent. I mean, if you're in my face, you're going to annoy me. I mean, they don't get to me in terms of we got more. I mean, our rings have been more. What's the term I'm trying to use? Have been more recent. Sorry. Our rings have been more recent. But at the end of the day, they don't bother me. Like a Cowboy fan will annoy me because they're obnoxious. A Raven fan annoys me because they're all in your face. I'm like, I don't take you seriously. You're the Baltimore Ravens. You're worried about the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's what you should worry about. You should worry about the Cleveland Browns. Worry about them.
You know it felt good when Kirk Cousins came in for RG3, relieved him that game and won against the Baltimore Ravens. It felt good because it was the Ravens.
Because it helped us win a game.
So it was the Ravens.
No, so it helped us win a division. That's all that mattered. For other people, it may be like, oh, you know what? We beat the Ravens. To me, every loss hurts when you're a fan of a team.
I'm gonna compare it real quick and I'm gonna move on. I have another question since you are the only Redskins fan on the set. In baseball, same thing. Sometimes you post a comment on Facebook, yeah, they own the Nationals. For what? If it's not really a rivalry between the two towns.
But I'm from around here. So what does that mean?
I'm just saying, you can't have it both ways.
Wait, let me tell you why. You're going to bring up the baseball argument. The only reason why, and I'm going to run on this real quick. The only reason why is because you have National fans. You have Oriole fans or former Oriole fans who are now National fans. They were Oriole fans in the beginning. So when they left, to me, they're traitors. So anytime the Orioles, you know, beat up on the Nationals, which happens often nowadays, I kind of gloat about it. I do. I gloat. That's what I'm saying.
Well,
I gloat.
I think it's the same thing on the opposite end when it comes to football. But I'm also looking at Thanksgiving. I know that a lot of racing fans sometimes are excited for the Skins to play on Thanksgiving. And it's the Cowboys. To me, the problem with this being this game against the Cowboys being scheduled on Thanksgiving is this will bring back or rehash memories of RG3's last great performance in Dallas on Thanksgiving. Right. And we cannot put him to bed as, you know, some great sportscasters in this area, as Will T refers to people, want to do. Some people in this area, they want to move on from RG3 so bad. But people like this guy in particular, I'm not going to say his name. He can't stand the name Robert Griffin III. But we're going to continue to talk about him up until that game. And as a matter of fact, I would not be surprised if those highlights are played on Thanksgiving Day on ESPN, pregame shows. It's going to be phenomenal.
That game is going to put a lot of pressure on Kirk Cousins because he's going to have to – I don't care anybody tells me. Because like what you mentioned, Ray, he's going to live in that stigma of RG3, what he did against the Cowboys on Thanksgiving Day.
Let me ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that game in particular, both of you all, mm-hmm. is going to put a lot of pressure on Kirk Cousins?
Because just off of what I've seen of him in the past, that game is – when you look at it, it's the game that put RG3 – to me on the map in terms of Redskin lore. I felt like that game was like it.
So Kirk Cousins comes in. Let's say he starts the season off like he played towards the last 10 games.
Yeah, got you.
So you're going to tell me that if he comes in and plays the first however many games before they play Dallas, right?
Exactly.
If he plays the way he played last year, that's going to put that game specifically is going to put extra pressure on him.
Yeah, I believe so.
I don't think so.
I think
you're wrong.
Look, it's okay. You can say I'm wrong, but I believe I'm right.
No, we all entitled to our opinion, but I just think if any game is going to be more pressure packed for him, it'll be October 2nd when they go directly head to head opposed to the Dallas game.
Oh, that's going to be a lot of pressure too. Yeah,
I think that's the. You know, outside of if they're competing for a playoff spot later on in the season, I think that's the highest pressure game for him.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That I would agree with. That game is because he's going to feel like he has to one-up RG3. And it's going to be vice versa. It's going to be a lot of pressure on RG3.
I think the pressure will be more on Robert than on Kirk. Kirk's come in and he solidified himself the potential franchise quarterback of this team. Robert still has to prove himself because he was beaten out by Kirk.
Well, this is what I would say. I wouldn't say that Kurt's the franchise quarterback because he doesn't have a long-term deal. So he's not solidified as a franchise quarterback unless he plays well. If he plays bad in that season, I mean, we don't know if he's going to get a contract extension or not. So I get to that
point. Well, I think it's a pretty far gone conclusion now that they want him long-term, but they want him at the right number.
They want him long-term, but they want it with consistency. The whole thing is consistency. If he doesn't play well, because let's just say hypothetically speaking, before the Cleveland game, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's not playing well,
mm-hmm.
right? I know I'm not working on a long term deal for him. At that point in time, I'm not.
Yeah, I guess at that point in time you're not, but I think you still have a bigger sample set to say. Okay, you have the last 10 games of last year.
Okay.
Then you had his duty as a backup his rookie year. Mm-hmm. And then you had the, what, 6 games before the last 10 games. And then let's say he struggles first 2 games out of the bat.
Yeah.
I think the larger, if you look at the sample set, you would definitely say that it's more likely than not
mm-hmm.
that he'll play somewhere in the middle of the hot streak from those 10 games. And, you know, the play he's shown you prior to those 10 games, that opposed to him coming out and struggling the first 2 or 3 games of the season.
Well, to me, like, the jury's still out on him, just on this point that, you know, he had one last season. He only played, you know, we can put it this way, he didn't play well. He only played well against teams sub 500, supposedly, sub 500. He didn't beat a team over 500.
That's true.
Then you got to a point where you know that, well, you don't know. We'll play, he's in the past. He's shown shaky confidence at times. So if he starts off looking shaky within his confidence, now it goes back to the pattern of, okay, we're not sure if he can turn around. So then that's what plays a part into, well, do we pay this dude this amount of money? We can't, I mean, banking on his hot streak. He got on a hot streak, but that's still, it's in the same level of his cold streak. You know what I mean? Like, he's.
I understand.
Well, to me, the difference is he struggled in Shanahan's offense as well.
Yeah.
Now that he has a grasp and he's played well with Gruden, he's coming to in his second year with Gruden. I think he's going to continue to grow. Bottom line is he's probably going to play well. I don't think they're going to be talking contract extensions until the latter part of the season, maybe even closer to Thanksgiving. I wouldn't be surprised if right around that time, if he's playing well, you'll hear about him signing a long-term contract.
Oh, yeah,
but they want to make sure that if they're going to sign him to a long-term deal, they are getting the guy that they think they have. And right now, they're confident that they have the right guy, but they want to make sure that they have the right guy. They want to be, I guess, a bit more certain.
You don't want to be locked into a quarterback who's not doing it. You know what I mean? Like, what's going on with, even though his contract was safe for the organization and Colin Kaepernick. It was a safe contract for the organization, but for him, you know, they feel that if they wanted to, they could let him go. They wanted to, and without them putting a stranglehold, without that contract putting a stranglehold on the organization. But looking at the schedule again, look at the Packers game. It's also in DC. It's a primetime game. Any thought of that game, the rematch?
I just want to say in general, Kirk Cousins is the sole reason the Redskins are back in primetime. Multiple times throughout the season.
He's the sole reason.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He put the team back on the map. You like that? The fan base
Kirk
is rejuvenated.
Absolutely.
The Redskins were not, they were an afterthought when it came to primetime. And now they're on primetime at least 3 times next year from what I can see already.
Maybe a fourth if that Arizona game could potentially get flexed if both teams are in a position to make it
Kirk
to playoff
run. Is the reason not like the beast Jordan Reed? Not that
it starts with it, the face.
It started with Kurt. Yeah. It started with Kurt.
Jordan Reed's a beast, but he somebody has to throw the ball to him.
He's not the
best player
on the offense.
He doesn't have a slogan that took the NFL by storm.
He's not even the best player on the offense.
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. We all know that this
Reggie Wayne was better than Peyton Manning.
What is this league all about? What is this league all about?
Quarterbacks. Yep. What? Oh my God, this is just terrible. Sorry, I'm watching TV.
Who's that? Mark Henry? Hey. The Capitals looking strong in the playoffs. Maybe they're about to take over the city if they win the title.
We can talk about that after the break. It's the Urban Sports Saying.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Strast in Russian means passion. I play all out every game. I give it everything I have. I broke my nose, got stitches, and scored 4 goals. I do it for you. I do it for Russia. That is Strast.
Mm-hmm. It's me. I was wondering if after all these years you'd like me to go over everything. They say the time's supposed to heal ya. I ain't done much healing. Hello, can you hear me? I'm in California dreaming about who we used to be when we were younger and free. I remember how it felt before the world fell at our feet. There's no difference between us, a million miles. Say,
back the Urban Sports Scene. It's Ray Wiley, my man Will T. Call us 240-478-3140, the phone number. We're also on Twitter. Tweet us at Urban Sports Scene. No S after sports. You can also listen to us on the Sports Grid podcast each and every Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Just visit blogtalkradio.com/WC Steeler Fan. This show is produced by West Coast Steeler Fan. And before the break, we alluded to the fact that we're going to be talking about the Washington Capitals. And I was excited to see the fight last night, and also seeing the demeanor of the players after the game and watching Alex Ovechkin interview with a former D.C. media member, Ms. Lindsay Zarniak of ESPN, where he just kept a serious demeanor the whole time. Right now it's exciting. They might own the city for a while.
That's good. No, very exciting. But we have a guest. Actually, we have Ed Frankovic. From the Washington Capitals insider from WNST in Baltimore. He's going to talk Capitals with us, so we're excited to talk about it. The Capitals are up 3-0 at the moment. Ed, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. What's happening?
We're fine. Everything's good. We're excited. The DMV is excited. You got the Capitals, a D.C. playoff, a D.C. team looking like they can actually win the championship. So everybody's excited over here.
Well, yeah, it was a pretty exciting night. I was up there game three, and I'll be up again for game four on Wednesday night. It was quite a scene, and there's nothing like beating a team from Philadelphia in this area. It's always a lot of fun. Whether it's Philly or Pittsburgh, those always seem to be the best, and New York's right behind it.
All right, aren't you telling the truth? So, real quick, why have the Capitals been so dominant in this series, in this season, in general?
Well, that's a great question, and I think it all started 2 years ago. When they changed general managers and coaches, they always had Alex Ovechkin, as everybody knows. I mean, Ovi's a rock star. And they had Nicholas Backstrom, and they had, at that point, they were really messing around with Braden Holtby. A lot of us thought he was going to be the number one goalie, but Adam Oates came in and didn't do a really good job. So they cleaned house in the front office. They brought Barry Trotz in, who I know well from back in the 80s and 90s, back when he was a scout with the Capitals and when he was coaching the Skipjacks, the Capitals farm team up in Baltimore, back when I used to work for the team. So I knew bringing Barry in was going to be a good thing. I think he was going to get them to be a team, and that's something they needed. But what they needed more than anything was they needed some better players. They needed to upgrade their defense. They had a Carl Alsner and a John Carlson back there, but they were short on the blue line. And they went out and they got a Brooks Orpik and they got a Matt Niskanen, and we saw the results last year. They came very close to beating the Rangers in that second round, but they needed some better forwards up front. They needed some help for Burakovsky and Kuznetsov and Ovechkin and Backstrom. And the general manager, Brian McClellan, goes out and gets TJ Oshie, who everybody knows from the Olympics, winning the shootout against Russia, and Justin Williams, a guy who's won 3 Stanley Cups. So you get those pieces and suddenly you're a team that's dominant, and they were, they really tore everybody up in the regular season this year. Kind of reminds, in hockey parlance, if you compare it to what's going on in the NBA, what the Warriors did this year and the Spurs, that's kind of what the Capitals did. To win that many games in hockey, it's just very hard to do. Because basketball is such a home court advantage. In hockey, it's not as big an advantage. So what the Capitals did, I really put up there with similar to what Golden State did in the regular season this year.
Yeah, and speaking of that great regular season, at times they struggled on the power play. But look at what happened last night. What was the difference?
Well, I think what's happened is they're starting to get a little bit confident. And one of the other things the coaches always talk about is they need reps. They need chances. And they went for a stretch where they're only getting like two or three power plays a game, if that. And that was what was happening. And then all of a sudden they started getting more, and the Flyers took some really bad penalties last night. They really lost their cool and melted down. And the Capitals, John Carlson, another big thing is John Carlson came back from injury, and he's back manning the power play. And he's got a great shot. With his shot, they can't shade over to Backstrom or Ovechkin as much, and that's really opening things up. It's opening the front of the net, and they're getting a lot of goals with deflections in front. And what you're going to probably see is teams will try and take Carlson away, and that'll open it up now for Backstrom and Ovechkin. So it's pick your poison with the Capitals' power play.
So you mentioned John Carlson. Can you talk about him and Marcus Johansson in this series? I believe John Carlson is leading this team in points in this series. Can you talk about their play?
Oh, they've been outstanding, and they are leading the team in points. Carlson, 3 goals in 3 games, and that's not easy to do on defense. John is such a good two-way player, and back in 2014, I really pushed hard for him to make the Olympic team, and he did. They went over to Sochi. Unfortunately, they finished fourth, but people around the league know how good Carlson is, and he's easily top 10 to 15 defenseman in the league in my book. He's so strong both ways. He can hit you. He can carry the puck out of his own zone. He has a great shot. He's the Capitals' number one defenseman, and it was really important that they had that big standings lead to get him to get that surgery to get his knee fixed so he's ready for the playoffs. And boy, is he really playing well. He's taking his game to another level. He's up there in the elite in the NHL defenseman. Marcus Johansson is a guy that the Capitals have always liked since they drafted him. He's had to play up in the lineup quite a bit in the top two lines, and Marcus is really more of a third line player, and with the additions of Oshie and Williams, and the emergence of Burakovsky, they've been able to slot him in that third line. And he's been doing great with Mike Richards and Jason Chimera on that third line. But where Marcus Johansson is so valuable is on that power play. That he is probably one of the best players in the league at carrying the puck into the zone on the power play. It's so important to carry the puck into your zone and get set up before the other team can take the puck from you. And Marcus is as good as there is at doing that. And he's also done a great job this year of going to the net. He's playing bigger. He's a small guy, but he's playing bigger. And he's been a huge factor. And let's just hope he stays healthy because he's a key part of this team.
Yeah, as I previously mentioned, I watched an interview earlier in the day on ESPN, Lindsey Zarniak asking Alex Ovechkin questions. And he just looked locked in, you know, what we call ice grill. He looked tough. Is he setting the tone for a new level of toughness, or is this team overall just have a new toughness about them?
Is this Johansson?
No, Ovechkin.
Ovi loves to play physical. Ovi is, I tell you what, that guy is built like a brick wall. And if you hit him on the ice, chances are you're probably going down, not him. He is so solid. I don't think I've ever seen a hockey player built quite like him that can skate, can shoot, has the power. You just do not want to get hit by him because he's going to put you through the boards. That's how strong he is. He has to dial it back. I mean, when he was younger, he used to really take runs at guys, and he got himself in trouble. He got some suspensions, but he's really learned how to play. The best thing about Ovi is just the way he's really transformed his hockey game. He's so good defensively now. He not only can score, but he can play defense. So he is just—he's just a beast. He's the best player in the league in my book. He's the guy you want out there. He really stepped up there in Game 3 and got that big goal on Steve Mason when it was 1-1, and the Flyers were coming. The Flyers were playing well, and Ovi kind of took it to them with that goal to make it 2-1. And then we all saw what happened in the third period when the Flyers started taking penalties, and Ovi got it. Sure enough, got another and 4 power play goals in that third period. You really got to like the way Alex Ovechkin is playing.
Mm-hmm. And Philadelphia looks so tired on that power kill. They look so tired. But word going around is Holtby got hurt in practice. What's the status of what's his status right now?
Well, Trotz said it's not a big deal. He's going to play. There was photos of him smiling, walking with a couple of subs. I think he'll be fine. Braden, I think it was more precautionary than anything. We'll find out tomorrow, but I'm not worried about it. If they had to, they could go to Grubauer for a game, but I really think Braden will be between the pipes. He's a tough guy. I would fully expect him to play. And, you know, we see how good he's been. And he's only given up two goals. And I chatted with him after the game last night. And he gave credit to his defense. He says, they're letting me see the shots. They're clearing the front of the net. When they do that, I know I don't have to worry about anything. I just have to stop that first shot and they take care of the rest. And, that boy Braden's been super. To give up two goals in three games of that team, that's saying something about how well he's playing and how well the team's playing in front of him.
So do you see this team closing it out tomorrow?
Yeah, I really do. I really do, guys. I think they're going to win it tomorrow. I still think, as Trott said after the game last night, I still don't think the Cavs have played their best game. I think the first game they came close to it. I mean, they really played well that first game. They just didn't finish their chances. I think they're going to play a game similar to that first one. They want to get this over with. They want to get the extra rest and sit back and just watch the Penguins and the Rangers beat each other up and then take whoever gets through.
Oh, perfect segue. So between the Penguins and Rangers, who matches up well for the Caps to beat?
Well, that's a good question. I think the Capitals will be favored against either. Both teams are pretty fast. They're speed teams. The Capitals can play either game. They can play a heavier game or a speed game. I think where the Capitals have to beat both these teams is in their depth with their third and fourth lines and their D. The Penguins especially ride Chris Letang 30 to 32 minutes a game. They play him a lot, along with Ali Mata. So you look at, that D pair of 58-3. If you ever watch the Penguins, they're going to be out there a lot. But they've got Crosby and Malkin. They've got some superstars up front where the Rangers are better on the back end with a Ryan McDonough. But they don't have the firepower I think the Penguins have up front. So selfishly, I think I really want to play the Rangers to get some revenge. They've beaten us three of the last 4 years. Now that means going up against the better goalie. Henrik Lundqvist is certainly the better goalie. Marc-Andre Fleury hasn't even played yet, but I think if the Penguins do get to their second round, he'll probably play. Let's put it this way. Either way, it's going to be a heck of a series. It's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. The Capitals are really going to have to make sure that they are sound defensively and not give up odd man rushes, because these two teams, the Penguins and the Rangers, love to try and spread you out and beat you with their speed so they can get a 2-on-1 or a 3-on-2 break. And that's what the Capitals are going to have to guard against. They've done a great job with Philly, but when they go up against the Rangers or the Penguins, now we're going to a whole nother level.
See, Lundqvist scares me. He does scare me.
I think all Caps fans have Henrik Lundqvist nightmares, and deservedly so. He is getting up there in age, but boy, he looked awfully good on Sunday in game, or was it Sunday? It was Saturday. Saturday in game two, he looked like his old self. So he's a guy who can steal the game. But I like the way the Capitals play. I really think they can get traffic on him. They gained some confidence against him this year in the games they played against him. Now that was regular season, and the playoffs are different. But, I think it would be really good for the Capitals to finally slay that dragon. I think, the forwards for Pittsburgh are better than the Rangers. I think the Rangers defense is a little bit better. And in net, I think the Rangers have the edge. So on paper, I think the Rangers are a little better. But like I said, I just like to get a shot at them and knock them off once and for all and slay that dragon.
I totally understand. But, well, Ed, how can folks reach you on social media or whatever?
Yeah, if you want to follow me, I'm out on Twitter. I'm at Ed Frankovic, and so that's the best place to hit me. Or if you want to send me an email, I'm ed@wnst.net. So we're stationed out of Baltimore. WNST stands for Never Stop Talking, 24/7 station. We do a lot of Ravens and Orioles and the Caps. In Maryland. So that's our gig up that way. It's the only hockey team we have, the Caps, and I grew up with them in Landover. You know, I was in Laurel, so I grew up with them. I'm a big Caps guy, so that's how you get a hold of me.
Hey, can I ask you a question just to sidetrack a bit? You don't mind, do you?
Sure, anytime.
Can the Redskins and Ravens potentially be a rivalry?
You know, that's a great question. I think it's hard. I'll be honest with you. I think it's hard because they play each other, one of every 4 years?
Yes, that's about right, yeah.
You just can't do it. And, I just don't think it. I know they play each other this year, and it's bragging rights in the area. And I'll be honest with you, the 2 years the Redskins beat the Ravens. The Ravens went on to win the Super Bowl. So I guess I should root for the Redskins to beat them again this year, right?
The Redskins have been a effect on many teams.
I grew up, all my friends grew up in, I grew up in Laurel, so I'm right in that borderline.
Okay.
My dad took me to Colt games, so that's why I was a Baltimore fan. But all my friends were Redskins fans. And you know what it is, Redskins. It's about Dallas. It's about the Eagles. It's about the Giants. And up in Baltimore, it's about the Steelers, number one. They're Dallas. Pittsburgh is the Redskins, Dallas, and then you got the Bengals, and then the Browns are just never any good. So that's
you're so right.
I guess RG3 is going there. So it's all about the Steelers. Just like you know, you guys could have a bad year and you beat the Cowboys, you're happy. The Ravens had a horrible year last year. They're going to get a great draft pick, but most importantly, they beat the Steelers twice. So yeah, we'll take that when we're in a down year.
Well, Ed, thanks for calling in. Thanks for definitely being our great Caps insider. Hopefully next week or the week after, we can have you back on.
I would love to, guys. You just hit me up on Twitter like you did, and I'll happily come on and talk any sports with you guys.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Ed.
Oh, my pleasure, guys. You have a great night.
Have a great one.
Thanks again, Ed.
Take care.
Yeah, well. He was good, but he didn't help me out at the end. But it's okay, though.
He helped me out.
It's okay. I don't mind taking the L. It happens sometimes. Conor McGregor just lost. Then he retired.
I was right. I like being right. I like saying that. Wally was right.
I think there's potential there.
There is no potential.
I think there's potential.
There's no potential. The only potential is the Caps winning the Stanley Cup. That's the only potential.
Yeah, all right.
Exactly.
If you say. I hope so. I'm thinking that the confidence in the fan base is growing at this point.
And when you lost this one, like Randy.
Hey, that's okay. I can lose. I'm straight out of my mind.
It's okay.
Like straight out of Washington.
All right. Anyway, we're going to talk about Randy Whitman being fired by the Washington Wizards, and then we're going to talk about the Wizards' potential new hirings or hire. Excuse me, new hire. It's the Urban Sports thing.
For age.
You dig?
Deuces.
That's a first-rate queso dip. Haven't been this lost in years.
Recalculating shortest route.
Do I really look like this?
And put it on top?
Never seen this one before. My favorite
part. Chicken parm, you taste so good.
I like it.
I seen your girl post a BM, so I hit her in the DM. All eyes, yeah, I see him. Yeah, that's your man, I hate to be him.
I'm Rashawn Ross, I listen to Urban Sports Scene.
If you listen to the Urban Sports Scene with myself, Wally, Ray Jeezy, my man Will T, call in. The phone number is 240-478-3140. That's 240-478-3140. Also, like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page, just search the Urban Sports Scene. So before the break, I talked about Randy Whitman being fired last week. First off, what went wrong for Randy Whitman in D.C.?
If it's to believe by Ernie Grunfeld's press conference where he essentially just threw Randy Whitman under the bus. Did either one of you hear that?
No, I hear it. What did he say?
Essentially, he blamed everything on Randy. You know, he's essentially...
You talking about a change of play? Are you talking about that?
Change of pace, the pace and space, yeah. You know, rotations, things of that nature, development of players. Anything that went wrong was essentially blamed on Randy Whitman. So, back to your question of why... Right.
Yeah. What went wrong?
He didn't produce. He didn't produce, and then also, if you notice, there was a pattern throughout the season where he would consistently call his players out in the media, and he would butt heads with his players in the media. He called Marcin Gortat soft. He consistently criticized the star player John Wall. These are all things that, granted, they needed to be done, but that was the wrong venue to have those things done. You don't call your players out. Specifically in the media, that's, you know, family business is kept behind closed doors. That's what film sessions are for, and that's what practice is for.
Well, he failed to make adjustments. That was one thing. I know people say adjustments are overrated sometimes when you have a specific game plan, but all the best coaches are able to do it. Also, the team very rarely play with a sense of urgency. At one point late in the season, I thought they were starting to find it. This was after the 1 point loss to Indiana at home with Paul George. I believe he scored 38 points. I thought they were getting to that point where they wanted to make the playoffs. They wanted to make a push, but they weren't responding to him. And obviously injuries was the other factor that did him in. There are not many coaches in this league that can overcome the injuries that the Wizards sustained this season. So most of it was his fault, Coach Whitman. And then again, the injuries, you know, you can't control those things.
Well, let me ask you this question. You brought up injuries, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, no one can control injuries, but what you can do is, as your GM, you can construct the roster with enough depth, and you can go out and you can find guys on 10-day contracts or guys who aren't signed who you can bring in and who can help your team. Don't you think that's fair?
That's fair. But I look at it where in an Eastern Conference, and granted, Eastern Conference is stronger than it's been in prior years, but this team, even with the injuries, were good enough to be better than 41-41. When I look at Randy Whitman, just because of his in-game adjustments, how he, to me, has stunted the growth of young players even within the season. You know, Kelly Oubre, we can talk about a kid that when he did play, he did some good things. It wasn't like he did some bad things. He did some good things. And not giving him any burn or get some DMPs. Let's look at Drew Gooden, a guy who came up big for you in the postseason. You know, everybody talks about Paul Pierce, and deservedly so. Paul Pierce was big for him last season in the postseason. But Drew Gooden was just as big, and he didn't get any burn at all in many games. So when I look at Randy Whitman, I look at a guy who, to me, didn't adjust and didn't even go with what worked for you in that good run in the postseason. So I'm with you. I think it's a little bit of both, but Randy Whitman definitely deserves fault at this. I mean, when you look at, and I don't even get any of the talk about Randy Whitman. Well, it was unfair with injuries. Randy Whitman is a coach, to me, in his career. He's went 178. And went to 199. He's never been a good coach. He wasn't a good coach in any other venue. So to me, he's not a coach that can get this Wizards team to where they want to be at. So they had to get rid of him.
It's a players' league. Bottom line, as David Blatt, and Randy Whitman was not connecting with his players well. So regardless of whether they made the playoffs or not, I think a change was needed for the culture of the team. So it was an important move. But the question is, where do you go from here?
There are a lot of coaches out there. You got Thibodeau, a former coach for the Chicago Bulls. You have Luke Walton, who's an assistant for the Golden State Warriors.
He's not going anywhere.
Oh, yeah, I'm just putting coaches out there. I'm not saying he's coming over here. You have
Mark Jackson.
You have Jeff Van Gundy, who met with Minnesota, right? Am I correct?
Yes, yesterday.
All right. So then you have
Jeff Hornacek,
Sam Cassell, who's been rumored to come here.
Nate McMillan,
Scott Brooks, who's rumored.
Monty Williams is there now too.
Yeah, and Scott Brooks, who's rumored to be high on the Wizards list. So I mean, there are coaches out there that I feel like. Well, I'll put it this way: they're better than Randy Whitman. And I think they can win with this team. Now, are we talking about getting this team to the Eastern Conference Finals or to the NBA Finals? I'm not going to say all that. But there are coaches out there that are better than Randy Whitman. I mean, Mark Jackson, you know, his career coaching in Golden State was 121 wins and 109 losses. So he's a quality coach. You got, like I said, Scott Brooks, who we all said that, you know, he had talent. He won with just talent. But still, at the end of the day, he won games.
Whoa. He developed talent, too. I sent you a message earlier about that. Yeah. He didn't just have talent. He developed talent
I'm just
around.
I'm saying what a lot of people say.
To be honest, he helped develop Westbrook and Reggie Jackson and Cephalosha. Yeah. Cephalosha's a good player. You see him now in the playoffs.
Yeah, as a role player.
That's okay.
It's okay, man.
You can develop role players, right? Anything wrong with that? You're a coach. You can't develop a role player?
Let me ask both of you guys this. If you had your choice, who's the guy that you would take? That you would select as the Wizards coach.
If they could get him.
Thibodeau.
Yeah, if they can get him, it'd be Tibbs. If they could get him. But I don't think he can get Tibbs.
Nah, Tibbs runs people into the ground.
Well, I like Tibbs. They need structure. I'm sorry. This team needs structure.
I mean, this team needs structure. I think that the guy who was on Randy Whitman's staff, who's now in L.A., would be the perfect coach for this team. Sam Cassell.
I think he would be the perfect coach because John Wall likes him. He's a guy that John Wall contributes to him being the point guard he is today. So, yeah, I mean, in terms of that regard, I like Sam Cassell. But if I'm looking for the best coach, a guy with the pedigree and what he's done in the past and his style and what this team needs, I'm going with Thibodeau. But this is my thing. I don't think Thibodeau comes here. If I'm anybody, what Minnesota has, that talent, that's number one on my list.
it's worth noting that Ernie Grunfeld hired Thibodeau under Eddie Jordan, even though Thibodeau ended up signing with Boston and backing out of the deal. But it's just worth a note. So, you know, whether he's fallen on the list or not, he's still potentially on the radar since he has past ties with Ernie Grunfeld. And Ernie Grunfeld is he is fighting for his job. This is it.
He's got one last year.
If you make, if you do not make the right choice, if you make a wrong choice, then this could be it. And we're talking about a massive change in personnel. Virtually the whole bench could be looking different next year.
Well, let me say this. I think he's already shown that he'll sacrifice the future to save his job with the trade for Markieff Morris. Not to say, you know, it's a top nine protected draft pick. Unless the Wizards, you know, fall from their position in the lottery, you know, they'll project it to have what, the number 12 or number 13, the number 12 or 13 pick.
Yeah, something like that.
So they won't have a lottery pick. And, you know, for Ernie to say Markieff Morris is our lottery pick, that just goes to show you systemically where this team is. It's a systemic failure. This team should be at the point, okay, we aren't making the playoffs. We have to re-sign Bradley Beal. Why take on the expense of a contract like Markieff Morris when you can get a rookie, develop him, do it, bring him in, develop him into the Wizards' way, and then you can possibly see him flourish and prosper? When you gave up a number one pick and you took on that salary, it's confusing to me the direction of this team. I understand why Ernie Grunfeld did it. He did it not for the best intentions of the team, but in order to save his job. For the team to make a playoff run.
I actually like the signing of, getting the trade of Markieff Morris, just because it's a player of need. I don't think, I guess within this, like, let's just put it out there. Say, and you should value lottery picks. I agree with you. You should value your draft picks. But in this draft, there aren't but so many, other than like three players, and the Wizards weren't going to get any of the three players.
That's where value. That's where scouting comes in.
They don't scout, period.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's where scouting comes in.
I know.
People didn't think Kawhi Leonard would be who he was.
Oh, I did, actually.
Huh?
I did, actually.
No, I'm just saying in general, the general consensus was Kawhi Leonard wouldn't be the player that he is today. But what happened? San Antonio, great front office, great player development, helped work him. They saw something and they helped develop him and mold him into the player he is today.
That is true. That is true. Your point is true. But that also, within scouting, it's also scouting and the coach's job to kind of guide that kid, you know, to the right, you know, the right direction and, you know, bring his game to the way it's supposed to be. He got blessed by going with Pop. Pop knows how to, we've seen it. Pop can make you the most talented person in the world because he does things and tailor things to what you, to your skill set.
Oh, well, let's one more case in point. Indiana, Larry Bird. Miles Turner was what, the number 11th pick last year? No one thought or perceived Miles Turner. People thought that Miles Turner would be a big man that just hoisted up a bunch of threes and wouldn't be able to defend solidly on the block. What has Miles Turner developed into in his first year? A 10 points and what, like 7 rebound guy? So that's where it goes into scouting in your front office with player development. Those are two essential things that this franchise is lacking at this point, and you continue to lack those fundamental these two fundamental elements as long as Ernie Grunfeld is still your GM.
And when Miles Turner is in the postseason, we'll have some postseason talk after the break. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
For ages.
You dig?
Deuces.
Y'all try to make it next month. I'm sitting up there. Fucking ready to show up.
How much money is that?
Yellow beat, holler at me.
And chewy on some hot. Like I told Tish, I see when I sh. Like you seen him twirl, then he drops. And we keep them to my block. And Monte keep it on him, he done drop. And we be wildin', he some hot. Tones known to get busy with them. Try to run down and you can catch. Running through these checks till I pass out.
Pass out.
The shorty give me neck till I pass out.
Pass out.
I swear to God, all I do is cash out. And if you ain't up, get up on my trap house. I've been selling since like the fifth grade. Really never made no difference with the shit made. That told me flip them packs and how to maintain. Get that money back and spend it on the same thing. Shorty like the way that I ball out. I be getting money till I fall out. You talking cash, dog, I goes all out. Shorty love the way that I flow south. Free greasy them, let all of my dogs out. Mama send no cats inside my dog. That's what got my daddy locked up in the dog pound. Free fan on them, let all of my dogs out. We gon' pull up in that like we cops on them. With them 16s, we gon' put some shots on them. I send a little dot, I send a drop on them. She gon' call me up and I'ma sip the hot.
We're back. Urban Sports Scene. Call us. It's your last chance to call in. Come on. Give us a ring. 240-478-3140. Also, like our Urban Sports Scene Facebook page, just search Urban Sports Scene. And also check out the Football Garbage Time podcast, www.footballgarbagetime.com. We've been battling Hakun Wong and Ryan Whitfield and all types of stuff throughout the year. They've lost for the most part from what I remember. But shout out to them. They're cool people. Check them out on Twitter also. We're talking NBA playoffs now. The most important question that we identified coming into this night was, who looks like they can challenge the Cavaliers this far in Eastern Conference? We're watching the Hawks and Celtics, who are just now through three quarters. My opinion is Atlanta.
My opinion is Miami.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Miami. Right now, the Hawks are up 61-46 in the game. I'm going to go with Miami. Miami, they look impressive in game one. And they have the talent. They have the talent to beat Cleveland. Will they beat Cleveland? I don't think so. But they do have the talent, especially with Joe Johnson. You got Dragic, Dwayne Wade. There's so much.
Hassan Whiteside.
And Luol Deng. And even the young kid Richardson, who's draining threes for him. Yep. So they got they're just
Justice Winslow.
They have the coach.
Yep. Eric Spoelstra, who Wally hates.
Who knows LeBron
okay,
James very well.
Talk, like, that's just a horrible coach. I'm not going to get into all that. He's just
Hold on, bro. They made the playoffs now. And you were complaining last year if they missed the playoffs. This year, he got his team to a top four seed.
Top three, sorry.
What's the problem?
I just don't like the dude.
Silence.
Exactly. Can't argue with success. I do think, based on the Hawks' experience of being swept by this team, they'll be the hungry team. I don't like the friendship between Dwayne Wade and LeBron James when it comes to a playoff matchup. I think that could end up hurting Dwayne Wade in the end.
I don't think so.
I don't know if he always goes as hard at LeBron James because, again, you know, they're such close friends and they joke around constantly. Or they not necessarily joke around, but you constantly see them engaging during the game, between timeouts, laughing, hugging. I mean, it's like they miss each other, so to speak. You know what I mean?
Well,
that bothers me from a competitive standpoint.
They go hard to pay, well,
that's why KD doesn't hang out with LeBron in offseason no more.
Well, let me stop you right there. This isn't a team that's centralized around Dwayne Wade anymore. Dwayne Wade is more of a moving part to this team. You have Hassan Whiteside, you have Gordon Dragic, you have Luol Deng, you have Joe Johnson. This team, not to say that Dwayne Wade isn't one of the top two or three options offensively for this team, but I think in previous years, I would be concerned about that. But this year, I think this is a different team, a different Dwayne Wade's place. Even though, you know, he'll go down as the greatest Heat player ever. But I think his place on this team, this squad right now, they have more offensive options, which can, I think, could potentially frustrate Cleveland. Because Cleveland, I just don't see Tyronn Lue being able to make the adjustments on the fly. He struggled with that.
Here's where I'll probably jump on the bandwagon with you guys. I believe, just from my observation, that Miami's a better defensive team than Atlanta is, which is key. And Miami, since LeBron James has returned to Cleveland, he's been unable to get a victory in Miami. So those two key points. So I would agree. But let's be honest. The most exciting basketball right now is being played out west. You have Oklahoma City losing by one, even though Durant missed almost all his shots, it seemed like.
26?
He missed 26 shots.
7 for 33.
7 for 33 from the field. Then you have the Clippers, who came out looking strong against Portland. In game one, Blake Griffin looks as though he's returning to form. Golden State, that's all we need to say. San Antonio has had the most boring series thus far, even though it's just one game. Does that surprise us? No.
They do what they do.
We believe that the champion is going to come from out west.
Absolutely.
Yes. There's only two teams, though. Two teams.
So looking at the Clippers potentially matching up against the Warriors next round.
Yeah.
That's going to be a great
You picked the Clippers to win the championship, Will. Remember that?
Yeah, I did. Oh, I sure did.
That's why it's going to
I picked the Thunder, by the way.
I picked San Antonio.
Just to let you know, I'm not
clowning. I picked San Antonio.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. Yeah. So none of us picked Golden State, which is great, but now they're looking like they're going to repeat.
But I'm going to pick Golden State now.
No, I mean, if you had to ask me right now, Golden State.
Golden State, yeah. You got to keep it 100. I'm picking Golden State now. But yeah, I don't. See, just because I feel like Golden State has that psychological advantage over the Clippers, I just feel like they can beat. I don't know how tight that series would be. I'm not sure.
I think it'd be highly emotional and a very high contested series. Just because the Clippers they're not going to buy into Golden State's better than us. They aren't. You can just tell from the rivalry how fierce it is. They actually think that they're on the level of Golden State Warriors. So it'll be interesting basketball.
It's great to see Golden State showing some fight. During the regular season, while they were beating down everybody, they were just doing it, you know, while having a lot of fun. Now they're very serious. To see Stephen Curry getting that altercation over the weekend was great. And it reminds me of past series against the Clippers. Golden State has always showed fight because remember the Clippers used to knock them out. So it's always entertaining to watch these two teams. But yes, Golden State right now is the superior team, period, in the entire league, not just when you compare them to the Clippers.
So is Steph Curry's injury, do you feel like it's serious?
No. Reports are saying it's not, and it's amazing that they can win without him and have him buy time. That's great.
Well, first of all, Houston is not very good.
They're a joke.
They're not very good.
This is a joke.
Two, I think this people should be concerned, especially if it's an ankle. You know, we know that the ankle injuries have prevented him from having significant time in the past. So it's something to be wary of, something to look into more as the playoffs continue to go on.
Yeah, I feel as though Golden State is going to finally face the adversity of losing back-to-back games during this playoffs at some point. When? I don't know. It could be
back
the Clippers. They didn't lose a back-to-back. They didn't lose a back-to-back game all season, but I believe it will happen in the playoffs. I'm still going to stick with Oklahoma City because they look hungry, too. I know Kevin Durant had a bad game, but just think about it. All he needed to do is make one more shot, and they win.
Coaching is going to keep OKC out of a championship. The inability to...
James Harden is for real, but that's a whole other discussion that we had earlier.
Yeah.
I'm excited though. NBA playoffs thus far, great start. Still not March Madness though.
Never March Madness, but it's about time to go. We haven't done this in a while. It's about time to go hard in the paint.
I go hard in the paint. Then you stank it. What the thank it? I won't die for it.
All right. I'm going to have my selection. The Portland Trail Blazers lost game one. Who did Portland play again?
You don't know?
Yeah, exactly. I'm off.
The Clippers.
Thank you, the Clippers. Thanks, somebody saved me. Thank you. So I'm going to have for game two, I have CJ McCollum, stepping up. He went 3-for-11 in game one, only had 9 points. So I have CJ McCollum. They need him to produce for this team to win a game in this series. I believe they can take game two. So I got CJ McCollum going hard in the paint.
All right, I'm going down to Miami. The easy one, the easy pick is Hassan Whiteside, but I'm going to stay away from that. I'm going to go with a older guy who joined this team late in the season and who's a definite closer. I'm going with Joe Johnson. I think Joe Johnson continues to his strong play with this team, and he's going to go hard in the paint for game two.
I'm going to take Deron Williams. I know I picked Oklahoma City, but I just love to see him show that grit, that toughness, playing through a serious injury and coming up get big in game two, helping the Dallas Mavericks get a victory. Only averaging 7 points, but it's great to see him try to revive his career. First playoff appearance in a while for him.
All right, well, you heard it. You know, yeah, Deron Williams, that's a good one, though, man. He needs work, though, in the worst way, though. He definitely does. He showed up finally for game two, didn't he? He showed up. Then he got hurt. Is he going to be healthy, though?
Who?
Deron, he got hurt in that game.
No, he's not healthy. That's what I'm saying. He played through it. That's why I feel like he's going hard in the paint.
Oh, okay. I feel you.
Yeah, usually he would sit this one out. But, nah, that's a good pick, right?
He got stolen the jaw. You let Fish tell you he got stolen the jaw and he lost. That's how he lost all that weight.
He did. He had to drink milkshakes for 2 months. Shout out to my alma mater.
It's about time to wrap this show up anyway. But any parting shots before we wrap this show up?
Nope.
All I want to say is this one thing. Kobe Bryant is gone. LA is free. Laker fans rejoice. It's like, you know, it's like when the Wicked Witch of the West died in The Wizard of Oz and everybody was happy. Rejoice. Your franchise is free again. It can win games.
I heard D'Angelo Russell was leaving, too.
He should.
I heard he's going to sign with TMZ.
Hey, Mecca, lead us out.
Look how you looking at me.
Hey, Mecca. Talk.
You heard it first.
Hey, man. Mecca, lead us out, homie. Swag, pledge allegiance to the swag.